We're on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, the third line up from the bottom, last word on the line, where it says, Minahani Mili. Our Mishnah taught us that Dinei Nefashos, capital cases, may only be judged by day. That is, from beginning to end. You can't start a capital case by day and continue it into the night. Rather, it must start and end by day. And the Gemara asks, Minahani Mili. From where do we know this? What's the source for this halacha? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Simi Bar Chiya, Amar Kra, the Pasuk in Parshas Balak, relates in the aftermath of the tragic incident in which many Jews were enticed, they fell into the trap and served the idol Pa'ur. So the Pasuk says, Hashem told Moshe, V'hoka osam la'Hashem neged ha'shamash. Pasuk, which seems to refer to the leaders of the people, says, and v'hokasam, hang them before Hashem neged ha'shemesh, opposite the sun. So clearly, the Torah is saying that the execution was to take place during the day. Now we know that the way it works is, the execution is done immediately after the verdict. We don't allow any kind of a delay once the court decides this person is to be put to death. It's cruel to the convicted person to delay the administering of the death penalty, and we carry it out right away. So evidently, the court case that would come before these executions, from beginning to end, occurred by day. Hence we see that when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, by capital cases, you have to conclude the case, you have to hand down the verdict when it is still day, as opposed to monetary cases, where the Mishnah taught us that you have to begin by day, but you could conclude the case in the night. The Gemara further discusses this pasuk that we just quoted. Amar Rav Chista, minayin lehoka shehitliya. From where do we know? How do we know that this language of vihoka sam lashem, this word hoka, means hang? The Gemara answers we can prove this from the passage in Shmuel Beis, where another difficult episode is related. And that is that earlier Shaul HaMelech had done wrong to the Givonim, the people from the nation of Givon who had, you know, tricked their way into becoming a part of the Jewish people. Shaul HaMelech, through his actions of destroying the city of Nov, had destroyed their livelihood. This was considered a major injustice, and David HaMelech realized that the people were still suffering the effects of this in his time. And David HaMelech realized he had to reconcile with these people of Givon, and the people of Givon demanded that several descendants of Shaul be executed, and through that justice would be served. And Hashem confirmed to David HaMelech that indeed this was the appropriate course of action, and indeed some of the children, descendants of Shaul, were put to death. The Chsiv, the pasuk there, relates how it happened. V'oka'anum la'Hashem b'givas Shaul b'chir Hashem. The given people demanded we will be hokanum. We'll hang them. We'll see how we know that's what it means. That's the whole point why we quoted this pasuk. The Givonim demanded we will hang the sons of Shaul in Givas Shaul, the chosen of Hashem. Continuing to Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, so how do we know that Vihokanum means we'll hang them? Because Uksiv in the pasuk later describes what happened after the sons of Shaul were executed. It says, Vatikach ritzpa vas aya es hasak vatateulal hatsur mitchilas katsir. The Navi relates how the mother of two of the people, two of Shaul's sons who were executed, came to the place where the corpses were being displayed. She put her sackcloth down and she would not leave that place for the entire harvest season. And she would stay there and ensure that no bird or beast would approach the corpses. She protected the corpses. So it's clear from this narrative that they were executed in an open way. And presumably that refers to that, you know, they were hung on trees. Hence we see that this language of Vihoka means to hang. Now that that's established, the Gemara wonders about the pasuk we had quoted earlier from Balak. Let's cite that pasuk again. Uksiv, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Kach es kol Roshe ha'am. Pasuk seems to say Hashem told Moshe, you should take all the leaders of the people and hang them before Hashem during the day. The question is, why were the leaders hung? Ima'am chatu Roshe ha'am mechatu. True, many of the people sinned, they succumbed and worshipped this idol Pa'ur. But how did the leaders sin? It wasn't the leaders who went and served the idol. So how do we understand this pasuk? The Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yehuda Merav explains, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu le Moshe, Shem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu here to be chalek lehem batei dinin. Means Hashem told Moshe to instruct the leaders to set up multiple courts to process all of these incidents of Avodah Zarah, that each person should be formally tried and, if found guilty, convicted of Avodah Zarah, and then put to death. So it doesn't mean that the leaders were put to death. It means the leaders would set up the courts to determine if each individual had committed the crime, had done Avodah Zarah, and if found guilty, then the accused would be put to death. The Gemara wonders, my time, why was it necessary to set up multiple courts rather than just processing this whole group of people who did Avodah Zarah in one big court? The Gemara says, Ilema mishum shein dan in shnayim biyom echad. If you'll say that it has to do with the halacha we learn in the Mishnah, we're going to learn a mem heyom et beis, which says the halacha is a court case cannot process two different capital cases in one day. So maybe that's the answer, that's why. For all these different capital cases, for these different individuals, we therefore needed numerous batei dinin. But the Gemara says that doesn't apply in this case. For v'homer v'chista lo shonu ela b'shtei misos. And halacha of that Mishnah only applies when you're talking about two capital cases. Each case involves a different type of death penalty, where the issue is, if the court takes on a completely different capital case, then we're concerned that they won't be able to give their full effort to fully engage with this, you know, totally different capital case. It has its own rules. It's a whole different problem to deal with. Aval, says of Chistav, Misa Achas Danin. If you're talking about a bunch of people who were allegedly guilty of a crime that has the same death penalty, well, since it's one type of crime to focus on, so that's not an issue at all for the court, you know, one court to take on multiple cases of the same type of capital crime. So why did Hashem say that multiple courts were needed here? The Gemara answers, Ela kidei sheyashuv charon af miYisrael. The purpose of having multiple courts was a means of calming God's burning anger toward the people for this terrible sin of Avodah Zarah. When observing many different courts, you have like great numbers of people, professionals, being involved in this problem and working to have justice served. And this would appease Hashem. Hashem would see that the nation is working to fix this problem. And this would dissipate Hashem's wrath, his fury against the people for this crime of Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah then taught us that the halacha is, if the court judges a capital case and they see no basis to acquit, upon deliberations the court is inclined to rule guilty, to convict this person, the halacha is they may not actually hand down a guilty verdict on that same day. Rather, there's a requirement of halana sedin. They have to wait overnight. Maybe overnight a new argument will occur to them, so they can't, you know, actually go ahead with the guilty verdict until the next day. The Gemara asks, Minani Mili, from where do we know this? I'm Rabbi Chanin. Rabbi Chanin answers, the Amar Kra. We learn this from a pasuk in Yeshaya. Says, Mileasi Mishpat Tzedek Yolin Ba V'yata Miratzchim. And he interprets the pasuk as follows. It says, Mileasi Mishpat Tzedek Yolin Ba. That is, it's referring to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is once filled with proper justice. How? For Tzedek Yolin Ba. They once engaged in the process of being Yolin, which he interprets in the sense of to be alone, to stay overnight. That is, they comply with this halacha. The court would not quickly come to a ruling of guilty. They would always wait overnight, think about it more. Maybe something would occur to them to exonerate this person. That's how it used to be, but alas, atam miratzchem. Now, they do not keep this halacha, and Abesdin will just go ahead and quickly convict the person. So the Navi harshly rebukes him and says, there are murderers. It's like the court is murdering this person. That is, they apply the death penalty without, you know, the proper due process, specifically without doing halana sedin, without waiting overnight to actually issue the guilty verdict. So says Rabbi Chanina, V'rava Amar Mehacha. Rava learns it from here, from a different pasuk in Yeshaya. Says the words, Ashru Chamotz. So the simple reading is, the Navi exhorts the people to be ashru, to bring up, to encourage the chamotz, the people who are, you know, trodden upon, who are victims. But Rava darshins, the Navi is also saying like this, ashru dayan, praised is a dayan, shemachametz is dino, who is mechametz his din. Of course, we know the language of chametz. can refer to the leavening process, leavened bread, it's chametz, meaning you wait until the bread, the dough, rises, until it leavens. And so we could read this term in the sense of to delay. And read this way, the Navi is praising Ashuritz praised the one who is chametz, the judge, who delays his judgment, does not, you know, quickly come to a conclusion on the ruling, particularly in a capital case, meaning it refers to this requirement not to simply issue the guilty verdict in a capital case, rather to wait overnight about it, and if by the next day it still sees no possible argument to exonerate, so then he could convict. The Gemara says what Rabbi Chanina would respond to Rav's drasha of Yidach. Rabbi Chanina would respond to this. I read this pasuk as follows: Ashu chamotz velo chometz. The Navi emphasizes that you should lift up, you should help out the chamotz, the one who is the victim of a crime, who was stolen from, velo chometz, and not the one who stole. And Rashi explains, this alludes to a specific halacha that we learn about in Baba Kama, which is that what if Reuven takes Shimon to court, claiming that, hey, Shimon borrowed money from me, he didn't pay back, he stole the money, he didn't pay it back. Shimon responds, true, but that's because I gave you something for collateral and you lost it. So I have a legitimate reason not to pay you back because you lost my collateral. The Navi teaches us that the court's response should be, first we deal with the loan. Let's first deal with the basic loan. That, okay, if it's true that this person borrowed money and didn't pay back, well, that's a problem. He has to pay back. Next, we'll deal with this mashkin. If he wants to make a claim that the lender had his mashkin, which he lost from, we'll deal with that later. First, deal with the chamotz, the one who was, you know, clearly, you know, before stolen from, Reuven, his money wasn't paid back. Velo chometz, not the one who stole. That is, our priority first is to deal with this problem that, you know, Shimon borrowed Reuven's money and didn't pay it back. Then we could later talk about this other claim that Reuven lost Shimon's collateral. The Gemara now wonders, Yidach, the other opinion, Rava, hai mileasi mishpat mai avid le. What does he do with Rabbi Chanina's pasuk of mileasi mishpat? The Gemara answers, Kid Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yitzchak. The Yom Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yitzchak uses it as Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yitzchak explains that the Navi is telling us here, Kol tainis shemalinin bo, esat tzedakah, by any fast day. Where the practice was, on the fast day, people would pledge to give charity to the poor. And the expectation was, the understanding was that by the end of the fast day, the people who pledged to help the poor would give that food to the poor at the end of the fast day. And the poor were expecting that, were hopefully waiting for that, to be able to maybe break their fast and have a little food. Says the Navi, anybody who is malin in this, who delays this, lets it continue overnight, does not fulfill the pledge, does not provide that food to the poor by the end of the fast, ki'ilu shofech damim, is as if they've spilled blood, for a very simple reason. The poor, obviously, in general, don't have a lot of food, and here they fasted, and they're relying on the food that you promised them for after the fast. It could be, as a result of delaying this and not coming through, a poor person might die of hunger. So says the Navi, it's like you're spilling blood, it's like murder. Shenemar, Eliasi Mishpat Tzedek. Pasuk refers to Tzedek, that is, you pledge to give tzedakah, charity. And if Yalin Ba, Pasuk continues there, if that's delayed, you see that, you don't bother coming through by the end of that fast day, then such people will be considered murderers. For the poor may very well be relying on that food they were expecting. The Gemara qualifies, though, that Vahani Mili Berifta Vitmari. This is only referring to where the pledge was for actual food, bread or dates, a kind of food that's ready to eat. So then it's plausible that this poor person was expecting that bread you promised him, and so it is crucial to follow through with that. Aval bezuzi, but certainly in the case of money, you promised to give some charity, some money to the poor, or a chiti visari, even if it's food, but it's raw food, it has to be processed, wheat or barley, less lanba. Then there is no particular outcry of not, you know, giving that right away, because by these forms of charity, the poor person was not expecting, was not relying on that to break his fast. So we're not referring to a case like that. The Mishnah continued that since the halacha is that the court may not, you know, on the same day they started the capital case, conclude, hand down the verdict that this person is guilty, the Mishnah said, Lefichach, therefore, ain't done. And the Mishnah continued to explain, we therefore cannot begin a capital case on Erev Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the Gemara elaborates on this. My time, what's the reason? What does the Mishnah mean by this? The Gemara explains, Mishum de lo efshar. Because if you started a capital case on Erev Shabbos or Yom Tov, you would be stuck in terms of issuing a guilty verdict. In case they come to a guilty verdict, we'd run into a problem in terms of when to issue that verdict for Hechi Levin. How could it be done? If your plan is the court will have the trial on Friday and complete the whole thing, hand down the verdict as well, on that day, on that Friday, the problem is, Dilma Chazutam Lechova, perhaps the court will decide that this person should be convicted, they'll cite a guilty verdict. In that case, as the Mishnah taught us, Ubo Lemevan Halonas Din. They are not allowed to hand down a guilty verdict on that same day. Rather, they must observe the law of Halonas Din, wait overnight, and only hand down the verdict the next day. So what would be the other choice here? Ledaini b'maliv shabsa. Okay, have the trial on Friday. V'legamri b'shabsa. And if they find he's guilty, then they'll issue the guilty verdict the next day on Shabbos. Now, once the guilty verdict in a capital case is issued, you cannot delay, as the Gemara will later state. So you'll say, V'lekotle b'shabbos. Okay, so we'll execute the person on that day, on Shabbos, right away after the verdict. The problem is, Ein Ritzicha Dochas HaShabbos. Although it is a mitzvah for the court to execute a person who has been found guilty of a capital crime, that mitzvah does not override the prohibition of desecrating the Shabbos. Of course, killing any living person or creature is a malacha on Shabbos. And as the Gemara will further discuss later, the halacha is the mitzvah to execute a person who is liable to death penalty is not a justification to go ahead and do a malacha on Shabbos. The Gemara says, if you'll say to wait to execute this person until after Shabbos, you wait till Saturday night, till Matzoi Shabbos. But that, of course, is not an option either, as we learned above. Neged Hashemesh B'inan. We learned from the Pasuk, no, the execution has to occur, Neged Hashemesh, in the daytime. And if you'll say, V'ligmere L'dine B'shabsa. Fine, we'll issue the guilty verdict on Shabbos, V'ligtele B'chad B'shabsa, and wait till the next day, until Sunday, to execute him. That is not acceptable either, for Nimsa Atam Mehana Esdino. That is a violation of being cruel to the convicted person, cause him undue suffering, to sit there not knowing when the death penalty is going to come, you're supposed to carry it out immediately. So none of those options would work. But the Gemara suggests another possibility, and maybe we could hold the trial on Friday, as well as Nidayni b'mali shabsa, we'll have the trial on Friday, and if the court is inclined to rule that he is guilty, v'nigmarei b'chad b'shabsa, we'll postpone the guilty verdict until Sunday, at which point we'll be able to immediately carry out the execution. And doing this would not be causing undue suffering to the defendant, for as long as the court hasn't actually issued a guilty verdict, the defendant has hope, maybe they'll find me innocent. So maybe we could do it this way. Where it says, no, that doesn't work either. You can't put a delay, you can't wait a whole day in between the initial trial and handing down the verdict. For if you do that, minshu taimayu. It carries the risk that the judges will forget the reasoning they had on day one, on Friday, for their verdict. Now, afogav deshneisur for hadayanin omdim lifneim, even though, as we learned about earlier, you had those court scribes standing there before the judges, v'kosvin divrei ha-mezaken v'divrei ha-mechayven. The scribes would record exactly what each judge wants to rule and each judge's reasoning for that ruling. So you'll say, therefore, they won't forget it, they write it down. The answer is, nihi de bepuma kosvin. True, granted that the actual spoken words of each judge will be recorded. However, liba de inchi, where coins a phrase here, was in the heart of these men, their thoughts might be forgotten, like the full understanding of why they felt inclined to rule this way. That cannot all be recorded, and therefore might be forgotten if you put a delay, if you put a whole day in between the initial trial and the verdict. Hilkach lo efshar, therefore the Gemara concludes, that's why the Mishnah says there is no feasible way of beginning a trial for a capital case on a Friday or on Erev Yom Tov. The Gemara now begins what appears to be a new discussion, but it's actually very much related to the previous discussion, in that the discussion will include the question of whether ritzicha, of executing a murderer or someone convicted of any crime that gets the death penalty, the question of whether we could execute this person on Shabbos. Amalei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish once says Rabbi Yochanan, You propose that seemingly, tehei kfuras meis mitzvah, seemingly the obligation of meis mitzvah means that a person discovers a corpse unattended. This corpse apparently has no friends or relatives to attend to it, to do the burial. So this is considered like a major emergency, and the person who encountered this meis mitzvah has a great obligation to take care of the meis, to see to it that the person has a proper burial. So Rish Lakish proposed to Rabbi Yochanan that that obligation should be doche Shabbos, should override the Shabbos prohibition. Like, let's say if it happened on Shabbos, of course, normally it's prohibited to start digging on Shabbos, that would be a malacha. Rish Lakish proposes if there's a mitzvah, a meis mitzvah, that should override Shabbos. It should be allowed to go ahead and bury this corpse. There was no one else to help with the burial, even on Shabbos. Why? Mi kal v'chomer, based on the following kal v'chomer argument. The argument is as follows. Uma avoda shedocha Shabbos. In light of the fact that avoda, bringing korbanos, is docha Shabbos. For example, the Torah says that every single day you bring two lambs on the Mizbeach, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. It's called a karban tamid. The lambs are completely burned on the Mizbeach. These are our communal offerings. And the Torah says we are to bring the Karban Tamid even on Shabbos, even though, of course, there's many malachas involved in bringing a Karban. Nevertheless, it's Docha Shabbos, the mitzvah to bring these Karbanas overrides the prohibition of Shabbos. Now, point number two is that Kfuras Meis Mitzvah Docha Osa. This situation of a meis mitzvah, again, this great obligation, no one else is burying this body. The obligation of meis mitzvah overrides the obligation to bring a carbon, as we shall now demonstrate. But the point is going to be that this appears to set up a kind of pecking order of these different mitzvahs. That is, seems that, okay, if meis mitzvah overrides the mitzvah to bring a carbon, that means meis mitzvah is a higher up mitzvah. And if the mitzvah of a carbon overrides the Shabbos, that seems to put Shabbos beneath the mitzvah of carbon. And therefore it seems that if the mitzvah of korbanos overrides Shabbos, so avoda is above Shabbos, and as mentioned earlier, meis mitzvah is apparently above, more superior than carbon or avoda, well then it should follow that, of course, you know, if we have meis mitzvah at the top, then avoda, then Shabbos. So then it should be obvious that meis mitzvah would override Shabbos. If even avoda, which is below meis mitzvah, overrides Shabbos, then certainly meis mitzvah, which is above avoda, should override Shabbos. That's the basic kal v'chomer here. The Rish Lakish proposes that should say that meis mitzvah overrides Shabbos, so if a meis mitzvah were to come up in Shabbos, you should go ahead and bury that unattended corpse. Now the Gemara tells us, how do we know an important part of this kal v'chomer, that again, that meis mitzvah overrides even the mitzvah to bring a carbon? The Gemara says, we know this mi ula achoso, from the word ula achoso in the Torah as written by a Nazir. The Gemara elaborates on this. Kiditanya was taught in a Braisa. The Torah says, regarding a Nazir, so of course a Nazir is a person who takes on the laws of Naziris, which includes a very strict law that he cannot become Tamei from a human corpse. Torah says, even for a close relative, even if his close relative dies, he can't make himself ritually impure for the burial of that close relative. As the Torah says, Le'aviv, Ule'imo, Le'achiv, Ule'achoso. The Braisa asks on this pasuk, Matam Lomar, what exactly does this pasuk teach us that we don't know already? For the Braisa is pointing out, the previous pasuk already stated unequivocally, the Torah said, Al nefesh meis lo yavo. A Nazir simply cannot become Tame. So it means, no matter who he's becoming Tame for. So seemingly this next pasuk is superfluous, like we already understand, doesn't matter who died, he cannot become Tame. So if you look in the Braisa, you look in the Sifri, it discusses a new point that each, with the mention of each additional relative, the Torah teaches. And we're going to focus on the teaching of the final term of the pasuk of Ule Achoso, and for his sister, which the Braisa explains, teaches us the following. Hare, Shehaya Holech Lishchot Es Pischo. Even if you had the following situation, where a person was going along to slaughter his Karban Pesach, it was time to shech the Karban Pesach, which is an extremely important Karban, incumbent on every member of the Jewish people, to bring Karban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. So you have this person who's on his way to bring Karban Pesach. What's more, v'lamul es beno. This person also happens to have an obligation. It's the eighth day since his son's birth, so it's time to give his son a bris milah, circumcise his son, which if somebody fails to do that, just like Karban Pesach, it's an Isser Kares. It's extremely important mitzvahs. And what's more, as Rashi explains, we're talking about this person, again, who's a Nazir. And besides that, he is a Kohen Gadol. So that's a whole additional reason why this person should not make himself ritually impure. Kohen Gadol also can't become Tameh for any relative. Turning to Amud Beis, Vishama Shemeis Lomeis, this Nazir Kohen Gadol, in this whole situation where he also has to do Bris Milah and bring a Karban Pesach, here's that a close relative of his died, let's say his sister, Yachol Yitameh, I might think that he should go ahead and attend the burial of his sister. The Bryce account is Amar to Lo Yitameh. What do you mean? Obviously, he is not allowed to do this. For aside from the fact that this person is a Nazir, you have all these other reasons why he should not be allowed to become Tameh even for the burial of his close relative of his sister. So the Bryce explains that certainly you're right, certainly that is the halacha, but the real point here is to make an inference. That is, the Torah emphasizes that for his sister he can't become Tameh, you know, even if it's for his sister. But if there was an even greater reason than that, which is a meis mitzvah, there's nobody else to bury this person, then that's not the halacha, as the Bryce explains. Yachol kishem she'enu mitameh la'achosa. Perhaps, just as the Torah is saying about a nazir, that he can't become tameh even for his sister's burial. Kach enu mitameh la'meis mitzvah. Maybe this even applies. He can't even become tameh in a meis mitzvah situation. There's nobody else to bury this person. Talmud lomar ula achoso. Teaches not so, the Torah says, for his sister, this person cannot become tameh, which teaches us, la achoso hudeinu mitameh, aval mitameh lemeis mitzvah. The reason of it's his sister, that's not a good enough reason to become tameh, but if it's a case of meis mitzvah, there's nobody else to bury this person, then even though he's a nazir and he's a kohen gadol, and he has a karban pesach to bring, and he has a bris milah to do, nevertheless, the Torah says you should set aside all of those things and take care of the meis mitzvah. Attend to this stranger's burial because there's nobody else to bury him. So we see from this brisa, the halacha that Rish Lakish mentioned, that the obligation of meis mitzvah overrides even obligation to bring a carbon like a carbon Pesach. And so Rish Lakish now concludes his argument, which is, now that we see that in the pecking order, apparently meis mitzvah is at the top, so, if Shabbos shenidches mipnei avoda, Shabbos is at the bottom, because avoda, the karbonos override Shabbos, therefore eino din shetei kivuras meis mitzvah docheh osah. Since again, meis mitzvah overrides even avoda, certainly meis mitzvah should override Shabbos. And if somebody encountered a meis mitzvah on Shabbos, seemingly he should violate the Shabbos to deal with that meis mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan responds to Rish Lakish's proposal. Amrlei, Rabbi Yochanan says back to Rish Lakish, Ritzicha tochiach. The halacha of executing a murderer disproves, unravels your kal v'chomer. And that is because regarding executing a murderer, the halacha is as follows. Shedoche so avoda. The mitzvah to execute a murderer overrides the mitzvah bringing a carbon, as the Gemara will derive below. V'yena doches a Shabbos. And yet, the mitzvah to execute a murderer, any person liable to the death penalty, does not override Shabbos. So Ritzicha destroys the Kal V'chomer, because it proves, again, the fact that you find the halacha, a mitzvah, that overrides avoda, again, even though avoda itself overrides Shabbos, does not necessarily mean, doesn't follow from that. You can't conclude that, oh, it must be that mitzvah would be docha Shabbos. It's more complicated than that. You can't follow this, you know, this simple pecking order that Rish Lakish tried to set up. The kal v'chomer is no longer a kal v'chomer. Now, everybody agrees that if this indeed is the halacha, if it's true that even though the mitzvah to execute a person overrides avoda, but it does not override Shabbos, and that would totally disprove Rish Lakish's Kal V'chomer. However, the Gemara questions that this, in fact, is the halacha. For the Gemara asks, Ritzicha gufa tidcha es Shabbos mi Kal V'chomer. That's a great point. Let's talk about Ritzicha. And seemingly, we can propose Rish Lakish is very kal v'chomer that he attempted to use for Meis Mitzvah. The Meis Mitzvah should override Shabbos. Let's use that kal v'chomer to prove, to argue, that the mitzvah to execute a murderer should also override the Shabbos. Use the kal v'chomer. Here's the kal v'chomer. Ma avoda shedocha es haShabbos. Seeing as how, again, the karbonos override Shabbos, and ritzicha docha osa, the mitzvah to execute a person overrides avoda. It seems it's above the mitzvah of the karbanos of avoda. And how do we know this? Shenemar. Because the Torah says in Mishpatim, Me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamus. Shem says, if someone committed murder, take him, if necessary, even from my mizbeach. Take him and put him to death, execute him. That is, even if this murderer is a kohen, and it's his turn to do the avoda, he's going to the mizbeach to do the avoda. Nevertheless, take him away and put him to death. So we see that the mitzvah to execute a person like a murderer overrides the avoda. It takes precedence over the mitzvah of the korbanos. And therefore we should say, Shabbos shenidches mipnei avoda, Shabbos is below avoda. Because the korbanos, as mentioned above, override Shabbos. We bring korbanos in Shabbos. Therefore it should follow that eino din shetei ritzicha doche osa. It's only logical. Ritzicha, which is even above avoda, should certainly be above Shabbos. And halacha should be that if someone is convicted of a capital crime, and we should be able to execute that person on Shabbos. It was mentioned earlier on Amud Aleph as a given that we don't do this, but the question is why not? Kal v'chomer would suggest that we should execute a person even on Shabbos if he was convicted on Shabbos. And if in fact we execute a person even on Shabbos, well then Rish Lakish's original proposal would be back. And his original kal v'chomer would stand that Meis Mitzvah also should be Docha Shabbos. If somebody encountered a mace that nobody else was able to bury, you should be able to bury that Meis Mitzvah even on Shabbos. The Gemara responds, Amar Rava, Rava said, Kfar Paska Tana de Be'er Rabbi Yishmael. Tana Rabbi Yishmael already ruled on this issue. The Tana Rabbi Yishmael, the Tana Rabbi Yishmael taught, the Torah says, in Vayakel, Pasuk says, Lo Sevaru Eish. Pasuk goes on there, B'chol Mosh V'secha Miyom Shabbos. Pasuk says, "There shall not kindle a fire in all of your dwellings on the day of Shabbos." Tanit Berbi Shmuel asked on this Pasuk, Matam Alon, what does this Pasuk teach us that's new? So the question appears to be, why do you need a specific warning against kindling a fire on Shabbos? We already know that's the halacha. The Torah already said that all of the activities that are part of the construction of the Mishkan, which includes kindling a fire, is prohibited on the Shabbos. It's a malacha on Shabbos. So Tanit Berbi Shmuel appears to ask, so what do we need this specific lav, this specific warning, thou shalt not kindle a fire in your home on Shabbos? The Gemara interrupts the Braisa to ask on the question, Matam Alomer, what do you mean, what does the Pasuk teach us? We already know the answer to that. There are two choices. Ilar Biyosi Lalav Yatzos. According to Biyosi, the purpose of this negative prohibition against kindling a fire is to downgrade the punishment of this particular activity from being a chi of misa. Most of the malachas and Shabbos are liable to the death penalty. So Rabbi Yossi understands that the Torah here singles out the activity of lighting a fire on Shabbos to teach that, okay, this particular malacha would not be liable to the death penalty. Rather, it would be in the category of a regular losa, say, they'd be liable to lashes. Either Rabbi Nassan, if you go like the opinion of Rabbi Nassan, then the answer to your question is lechalek yatzas. The Torah here wants to individually prohibit, you know, one of the 39 malachas to teach us that each malacha is considered a separate prohibition on its own. And we don't say that you only get the punishment for desecrating Shabbos if you violate all 39 malachas. No, just as one would violate the Shabbos for Havara alone, just for kindling a fire by itself, same with all the other malachas. That's Rabbi Nassan's interpretation. Ketanya is explained in the Braisa. And Braisa brings these two opinions. We have first Havara lulav yitzasa. First opinion says that the Torah here is telling us that the kindling of fire is different than the other malachas. For it is considered a regular lav, it's not a capital crime, it's not subject to the death penalty. Dear Rabbi Yossi, this is the words of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nassan, Amar Lechalik, it's us. And again, Rabbi Nassan says the purpose of this particular prohibition, the Torah wants to single out one of the malachas to say each malacha is considered a prohibition on its own. So right now we're at a loss to understand what the Tanit Rabbi Shmuel's question is. This was already discussed. we have two opinions as to what the prohibition of Lusavaroesh B'chumash V'Seichem is teaching us. So the Gemara clarifies, Ela Amarava, rather Rav explains, Tana Moshevos Kashele. Tana Beishmo's question is not on the basic prohibition of the shall not kindle a fire on Shabbos. Rather, he is asking about this word, Moshevos Seichem, in the Pasuk. It says, don't kindle a fire in your dwellings. He's asking on that word, Moshevos Matam Lomar. What does the Torah teach us with this particular word, Moshevos Seichem, in your dwellings? And the problem is as follows. Normally, the interpretation of, you know, don't do such and such in your dwellings is, the Torah is coming to clarify that the mitzvah, or the prohibition in question, applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael. The problem is, you know, why would the Torah need to make that point with regards to the prohibition of doing malacha on Shabbos? For Mechdi, Shabbos, Chovas HaGufi. Let's see, let's look at the prohibition in question. We're talking about the prohibition of desecrating the Shabbos. Clearly, this halacha is Chovas HaGuf. It's an obligation on the person, as opposed to one of the agricultural mitzvahs, any mitzvah having to do with cultivation of the land. And this is clearly an obligation on the person. The person can't do malach on Shabbos. And so, v'chovas ha'guf, noheges bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. It's obvious that a personal obligation applies regardless of where in the world the person happens to be, whether he's in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, moshevos, the kos of rachmana lamali. Why then did the Torah need to go out of its way to say that the prohibition of desecration of Shabbos applies in all of your dwellings, even outside of Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean? Of course, the prohibition to desecrate the Shabbos applies everywhere. So the Tanna Rabbi Yishmael answers this question as follows. Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amar Talmud Echad. One student answered in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, Lefi Shenemar. In light of the Pasuk in Kiseitse, which says, Ki Yihyeh V'ish Chet Mishvat Maves V'humas. The Torah commands that if a person is found guilty of a sin that is deserving of the death penalty, then V'humas, then the court is commanded to put this person to death, execute this person. So there's a mitzvah for the court to execute a person who was found guilty of a capital crime. So Rabbi Shmuel said, if I just had this pasuk, Shumeya ani, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, I could understand that the mitzvah applies both on the weekday and on Shabbos. That is, if the person happens to be convicted of a capital crime on Shabbos, we should execute him even on Shabbos. What's the basis to say such a thing? It would be the Kal V'chomer that our Gemara proposed. That since we know, the Torah says, "Mi'mizbechi tikachen lamus," that the mitzvah to execute a person overrides even Korbanos, and we know Korbanos override Shabbos, so seemingly it would be Kal V'chomer that executing a person should override Shabbos. Now, v'ho amani mekai mechal lamus yimas, if so, how would I fulfill the pasuk in Kisisa? Torah says, if somebody desecrates Shabbos, he is put to death. You're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos. How would that be understood according to this proposal? The answer is, Rishara Malachas Chutzim Mises Bezdin. There the Torah is referring to a situation other than this case. This case would be an exception. Yes, of course, normally Chilas Shabbos is a problem, but the mitzvah to execute a person overrides Chilas Shabbos based on the above Kal V'chomer. Oh, Eino Ella Afilu Misas Bezdin. Maybe this is not correct. Maybe the Torah forbids the desecration of Shabbos doing any malacha, even if it's in order to execute a person who the court found guilty of a capital crime. Meaning, maybe the above Kal V'chomer is refuted by the example of Meis Mitzvah. For Meis Mitzvah, even though, as we demonstrated above, overrides the mitzvah bringing a carbon. However, you don't do Meis Mitzvah on Shabbos, so that like disproves the Kal V'chomer. And so maybe we should say that no, you don't kill a person, you don't execute a person on Shabbos. Mani mekayim v'humas. And so how do I understand v'humas, that there is a mitzvah to execute a person? That refers to b'chol of alo b'Shabbos. The mitzvah, according to this, would only apply on the weekday. Oeinu ela afilu b'Shabbos. Or maybe, no, we should say that the mitzvah to execute a person applies even on Shabbos. That is, now the argument is made that don't try to disprove our Kal V'chomer from Meis Mitzvah, for let's apply the same Kal V'chomer to Meis Mitzvah itself. That is, if Meis Mitzvah overrides Korbanos, and we know Korbanos overrides Shabbos, then certainly Meis Mitzvah should override Shabbos, and Ritzicha too, executing a person also. So the Kal V'chomer is back. There's a very plausible argument that the mitzvah for Bezdin to execute a person should apply even on Shabbos. Says Tanavir Bishmal, Tamilomer, therefore the Torah teaches us Nispasig Losivaruesh Bachol Mushvasechem. The Torah adds this seemingly superfluous phrase that says, you cannot violate the Shabbos in all of your dwellings. The point of this phrase is as follows. For Lahalonu Omer, elsewhere in the Torah, in Parshas Maaseh, the Torah states, V'hayu eila lachem lechukas mishbat ledorasechem bechol moshvosechem. The Torah talks about judging a person who committed a murder, and it says, you should judge him for all your generations and all of your dwellings. The same terminology, all of your dwellings. So we say, ma moshvosom v'lehalon bezdin, just as in this term moshvos is used in the pasuk in Maaseh, it's referring to a court, a bezdin. Af moshvos amur kan bezdin sotim vayakel. The Torah is talking about the prohibition of desecrating Shabbos. The Torah is referring to even in the context of a bezdin wants to execute a person. And what does the Torah say? V'yomer Rachmana. The Torah says lo sevaru esh b'chol moshvoseicha, shall not kindle a fire in all of your dwellings. That is, even in court, even to execute a person, let's say they would like to apply the death penalty of Sreifa, which involves kindling a fire. The Torah says, you shall not do that on Shabbos. So the Torah is teaching that Ritzicha, executing a murderer, is a mitzvah that does not override Shabbos. So this proves Rabbi Yochanan correct. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rish Lakish, when Rish Lakish proposed to make the Kal V'chomer for a Mes Mitzvah, that if it overrides Karban, and Karban overrides Shabbos, then certainly Mes Mitzvah should override Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan said, Ritzicha tochiach. Ritzicha shows that's not true. For Ritzicha, we see now the halacha is, even though Torah says, you take the Kohen murderer away from the Mizbeach to kill him, so Ritzicha overrides the Karbanos, Avoda, yet Ritzicha does not override Shabbos. Therefore, as say by Mes Mitzvah, it simply does not follow. Just because Mes Mitzvah overrides Avodah, does not follow that it should override the Shabbos. If Mes Mitzvah happened on Shabbos, you would not do it. You would not go ahead and bury that person on Shabbos. More attempts to build on this conclusion. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Hashta de Omar, Ein Ritzicha Docha Esa Shabbos. Now that you have concluded that the mitzvah to execute a murderer does not override Shabbos, should follow that Ein Ritzicha Docha Es Hoavoda. The mitzvah for the court to execute a person should not override the mitzvah to bring a carbon either. Mi Kal V'chomer. Based on the following Kal V'chomer. Uma Shabbos Shenitches Mipnei Hoavoda. In light of the fact that, as mentioned above, the mitzvah of Avoda to bring Karbonos overrides the prohibition of Shabbos. We bring Karbonos even on Shabbos. And yet, Ein Ritzicha Docha Asa, as concluded above, the mitzvah to execute the murderer does not override Shabbos. So now, like Ritzicha is at the bottom of the pecking order. And therefore, since Avoda Shehi Docha Asa Shabbos, Avoda, the Karbonos again, are Docha Shabbos. We do bring a carbon on Shabbos. So that like puts Avoda at the top now. And therefore, Eino Din Shalotehe Ritzicha Docha Asa. It's only logical, certainly, the mitzvah to execute a murderer should not override the Avoda. The Avoda is at the top. Avoda is Docha Shabbos. And Ritzicha, the mitzvah to execute a person, is not Docha Shabbos. So, logically, it seems that, you know, mathematically, it should follow. But if there's a conflict in between Ritzicha, should we execute this person? The problem is, if we do, he's the Kohen. He's going to do the carbon now. If we do that, it's going to mess up the carbon mitzvah. Seemingly, the halacha should be that we should not execute this Kohen yet. We should let him bring the carbon first. There's an obvious question on this, which is, Elohad d'chsiv me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamos. I, the Torah says not so. It's very nice to make a Kal V'chomer, but the Pasuk says not so. The Torah says that if someone committed murder, take him and execute him, even if that means taking him from my Mizbeach, Hashem says. Abai says that we should say that Hahu l'karben yachid. We should understand that that Pasuk is referring to a sacrifice of an individual. If this person as an individual wants to bring his own carbon, the Torah says, too bad. He has been convicted of murder, so take him and execute him. So in that case, fine, because de lo dachi Shabbos. For indeed, an individual's sacrifice does not override Shabbos. If somebody pledged, you know, volunteered to bring his own carbon, he may not bring that carbon on Shabbos. The idea we mentioned that you bring a carbon on Shabbos means that if there's a communal offering, like the carbon tamid, it's brought every single day, or obviously the karbanos of Shabbos. So those communal offerings are brought even though it's Shabbos, even though that means you're doing acts that are normally acts of desecrating Shabbos. However, for an individual to fulfill his pledge of bringing his own individual carbon of Shabbos, that's not allowed. So meaning Abaye proposes there are like two different forms of avoda. There's like the lower form of avoda and the higher form of avoda. That is, it's true, the Torah says by the lower kind of avoda, that is an individual's offering, the mitzvah to execute this person, if he was convicted of being a murderer, overrides that kind of avoda. But based on the Kal Vachomer Abaye argued above, we should say by the higher form of avoda, which is the Ochel Shabbos, then certainly since Ritzicha is like lower than Shabbos, because again, we concluded, you don't execute a person at Shabbos, it should follow that the higher form of avoda, the communal offerings, should supersede the mitzvah to execute a person. So if a kohen is about to go out and do a communal offering, the halacha should be that even if this kohen is a convicted murderer, we should not be able to take him and execute him while he's, you know, going ahead and bringing this communal offering. But Rava rejects Abaye's proposal. Amar Rava, Rava says, in parentheses it says, Ihachi, if so, according to what you are suggesting, lo tehe ritzicha docha karbin yachid mikal v'chomer, the mitzvah to execute a murderer should not even override a lower form of the sacrificial service, even an individual's offering based on your kal v'chomer. That is, if your kal v'chomer is true, then the mitzvah to execute a person should never be docha avoda, even the lower form of avoda. And a Rav's point will be that we know it's not true. We know the Torah says that the mitzvah to execute a murderer does override the at least the lower form of avoda. And so this shows us that apparently we don't say this whole kind of kal v'chomer. As Rava explains further, continuing to Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, Rava says, if we accept your basic kal v'chomer, then we should say as follows. There is like a new form of this kal v'chomer we can make, which is Ma yomtev shenitcha mipnei karbin yachid. Seeing as how the prohibition of doing malacha on yomtev is set aside even for an individual's offering. As we'll see, we're going like one opinion in Masechtas Be'ah that says when it comes to a yomtev, you're even allowed to bring a personal offering on yomtev. But still, ein ritzicha docha oso, the mitzvah to execute a convicted murderer would not override the isser of doing malacha on yomtev. That is because there's no difference between a Shabbos and yomtev in terms of malacha, except for the fact that there are certain malachas that are involved in food preparation which are relaxed on yomtev. But other than that, the same malachas of Shabbos, all the same rules of Shabbos apply to yomtev, and we already established above. The rule is that we don't execute a person on Shabbos. That mitzvah does not override Shabbos. It doesn't override Yom Tov either. So this means that in this hierarchy of mitzvahs, the mitzvah to execute a person is at the bottom. Then comes Yom Tov, and then comes even the what we call above the lower kind of avoda, the individual's offering. Even that is above Yom Tov. As we just pointed out, for Karban Yachid, Shu Dochas Yom Tov, since we said, according to one opinion, an individual's offering is docha yom tov. You could bring that offering on yom tov. Therefore, eino din shelote ritzicha docha oso. Is it not logical that certainly, since the mitzvah to execute a murderer does not even override yom tov, certainly it should not be able to override the mitzvah of an individual's offering. So that means if a convicted murderer is a kohen, is about to bring his own individual carbon, he should be allowed to bring that carbon. We should not be able to take him and execute him while he's offering that carbon. Now, Rava acknowledges, Ha-nicha l'man di'amar ein edar min edaviz kraven miyamtiv. Truth is, I have no particular question on Abaye if you assume like the other opinion in Masechtas Be'ah, who actually does not allow an individual to bring his own personal offering on yamtiv. According to that opinion, we of course cannot make the above kal v'chomer. But if we go like the other opinion there, it says no, even personal offerings can be brought on Yom Tov, voluntary offerings can be brought on Yom Tov. What is there to say that is, according to that opinion, we could say the above Kal V'chomer, which would suggest that the halacha is that we never take somebody away from a carbon to go and execute him. In reality, though, we know, of course, that that's not true. That's not the halacha. Rather, the Torah says, "Meim mizbechi tikachenu lamus." Hashem says, even if it means taking the convicted murderer away from the mizbeach, so be it. He should be executed. And so, apparently, we don't say this whole Kal V'Chomer that Abaye suggests. And the mitzvah of avoda, of bringing karbonos, never overrides the mitzvah of executing a convicted murderer. Ella amar Rava, rather Rava says, this is really the halacha. Lo mi boy leman diyamar nedarim unedavos kraven biyamtiv. Clearly, according to the view, as was explained above, the view that says that even personal offerings can be brought on Yom Tov, according to that opinion, we can't say this Kal V'Chomer. Because if we agree with the bias Kal V'Chomer, then that would bring us to the conclusion that even if a Kohen was bringing a personal offering, we would not be able to take him and execute him. And that cannot be. The halo miskayim me'im mizbechi klal. According to that conclusion, we would never be able to fulfill the Torah's words of you shall take him, even from my Mizbeach, Hashem says, to go and kill this person if he is a convicted murderer. Ella says, Rava, afilu leman diyamar nedarim unedavos ein krev miyamtiv. Rava now argues, even according to the other opinion, over there in Masechet Hizbeah, who says you're not allowed to bring a personal offering on Yom Tov. And so according to that opinion, you can't create this new Kal V'Chomer to dismantle Abaye's Kal V'Chomer. But Rava says, nevertheless, it's clear that the halacha is not like Abaye suggests. Abaye wanted to say that by communal offering, we wouldn't take the coin from the Mizbeach to go and execute him. Rava says, it's clear from the wording of the Pasuk that that's simply not true. For Haksiv, for the specific wording of the Pasuk is, Me'im Mizbechi. Hashem says, if necessary, should even take this convicted murderer from my Mizbeach. So Rava points out, what's my Mizbeach? What that saying is, Mizbechi ha-miyuchad li. Hashem says, even my Mizbeach, when it's being used for something that's very special to me, my ninhu tamid. That is, even if you're bringing the very important communal offering, the carbon tamid, on my Mizbeach, Yom Rachman, Hashem says, even by such a communal offering, if a convicted murderer is attempting to bring even that kind of very important carbon, he should be taken away to be executed. So Rava simply says back to Abaye, the Pasuk, you know, specifically teaches us otherwise. That in fact, no matter what kind of avoda is happening, even if this kohen is involved in a communal offering, the halacha is that ritzicha is docha, that offering, that is, the mitzvah to execute this convicted murderer, overrides the consideration that we're going to deprive the mizbeach of this communal offering.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.